Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good day, everybody. It's Blog Talk Land and Podcast Land. I've been wanting to do this show for a while about colic and helping your child get through it naturally. We are blessed with two toddlers, 1.5 and 2.5-year-old thereabouts. Our first child was a boy, and second was a girl, and the first one, the actual caring of the child, was really hard because I had a severe back injury. But our son was like the perfect, easiest baby ever. He was so happy and just so calm. And then my second pregnancy, carrying my daughter, was actually really easy, and the labor was easy. But she came out crying. And the first day, I'm like, oh, something's wrong here. She just wouldn't stop crying. Every time she was awake, she was crying. Unless she was on my body. So I realized the first day, I was like, yeah, I remember even texting my husband because he was home with my son after a few hours after being there with the baby after she was born. So he had to go home, of course, and go to bed. But I remember texting him and saying, oh, we have a crybaby. And so I just knew there was something more intense going on with her. And, you know, my son, he cried when he was first born for the first few days because he hated laying on his back. So I actually kept him with me. He didn't want to be alone, essentially. But I never had him flat. And he was totally happy as long as he wasn't flat or on his back, sleeping on his back. But my daughter, even if I elevated her slightly, she still was screaming, crying. So I'm like, oh, this is something more intense. There's something else going on here. And so I quickly realized, after she was checked out by the doctors and she was a healthy baby besides some skin issues, I quickly realized that she probably had colic. You know, that thing you hear about, oh, babies don't stop crying. But my world, my perspective, and my heart, there's a reason for everything. If you go and research colic on a lot of these sites, even medical sites, they'll say, oh, it's kind of like medical science doesn't really know why it happens. But for me, there's a reason for everything, and it's a field that probably needs to be more intensely studied and treated appropriately for children. There is some advances that are happening with colic nowadays in doctors. There's some doctors that actually say, yes, it's a serious problem. And, you know, they link it to many different things. They rule out certain things. And there's this place called Women and Infants, a member of Care New England. And it's for child development, infant and early child development. And there are medical staff there that actually treat colic and think that it does have a root. And they do a lot of research. They have the mothers keep diaries and see how long they're crying. And they say if a baby cries more than 3 hours, I'm on their website now. I'm on their website right now. If a baby cries more than 3 hours, it's an issue. And if the baby isn't sleeping, it's an issue. And I actually knew that that was out there maybe a few weeks after my daughter had colic when I started to research what is there with Western medicine intervention. Okay, I don't want you playing with this. I'm on the phone doing my radio show. I really didn't want you to take down that gate. I wanted you guys to be quiet in the living room. So now, if you want to play out here, please be quiet. So yeah, my two little ones just escaped my son knows how to open the gate. So of course, now they're right around me. You want your pen, marker? Okay, there you go. So I knew that there was some Western intervention. Here, honey, I don't want you to have the cap. But I was like, you know what? Let me just try all the least invasive methods first. because I live in the Western world, but I think that we're too quick to prescribe a medication that has side effects. So I try to do the least invasive, most natural first. So I started to really pay attention to my daughter and her symptoms and what worked and what didn't with certain things that I could do as a mother. The first thing that I noticed was a huge difference was never having her on her back. I mean, we can play with the markers, but no whining, okay? I'm on the phone trying to do a radio show. So never, ever lying flat on her back, which is, you know, everybody's like, oh, SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. SIDS, you have to lay them on their back. Well, I make the difference with that. I don't think there's any you have to's. I think it's about your child, and every human being is a unique individual. So, yes, I mean, maybe cases have lessons for SIDS, and that's wonderful. But there's a lot of other reasons for that, too. People have less things in the crib and less thick mattresses that they can smother themselves on. And, you know, if you go into the research there, it's not really just the laying flat on the back. Doing it. So there's other things you can do. You can actually hold your baby. And so she stopped crying if I was holding her and her belly was crying on me. Because for whatever reason, digestively, her stomach was a mess after feeding if she lied on her back. So she really was the best, just resting her body on mine, laying her stomach on my body, sitting up. And I did breastfeed. Now, if you get to the roots of colic, a lot of people believe when a baby cries with colic due to digestive issues, it's because actually their body can't digest the lactose. And so essentially, it's really not that complicated. Like, people make it more complicated. It's essentially children with lactose intolerance. And a lot of people say, oh, don't stop breastfeeding and don't do soy. But I kind of took the medium route, and I breastfed because I knew it's so important for the rest of her life, for her immune system. A lot of people out there, you know, they decide not to breastfeed. I'm not putting you down. But for me, as a mother that's really into the natural way and understands that I want to do less invasive treatments for my children in the future and really boost their immune system because the colostrum is so important and all your immunities are so important to pass on to your child. So that was high priority for me. So I took middle ground and I breastfed. And I also laid her on me. She never, ever been laying on her back. That would be horrible. And she slept on me. And everyone's going to have their own method. And the doctors, every time I mention that, they're like, gasp. You know, there have been smothering incidents and SIDS. So, you know, if that's not for you and you don't feel like you'd be aware of your baby on you, then, you know, go through that. But I was very in touch. Somehow, even though I was totally exhausted, I never hurt my baby. She was always, even if she was laying beside me, she'd always make her way on top of me. It was kind of funny. She was like a little snake. She was always slithering on me. So she was very happy nursing. And I definitely noticed a difference after she nursed. She cried. And your milk does naturally have lactose. And one of the causes of colic is lactose intolerance. So what I mean by the middle ground is the positions really helped her. And the burping was so important after feeding because it's very gassy. When a baby has gas, it's very painful. So colic causes a lot of gas. So I developed some of my own methods to effectively burp her. She would be sitting directly up on my knee, and I would be patting my heel on the ground. You know, it's almost like bouncing, but a little bit more firm. Obviously, you're not going to do it extremely rough with a little baby. But I just found our little flow and rhythm, and I would do that until she burped, as well as I was patting her back. And I also had a method of patting her back. I would start from her lower back. And it wouldn't be too gentle, but it was firm enough, but not too firm to hurt her. Use common sense, people. So I would pat her back from the lower back all the way up, slowly taking time in each area, all the way up. And that really helped her. That probably decreased her colic right there about 40%, those methods. And then the other thing that I did, because I really love my baby and didn't want her to suffer, was I also added organic chamomile to her bottle. Chamomile is a natural, really non-invasive herb. I just put a little bit in my brews of chamomile and maybe use like 1/8 in a bottle. And that's something that you're going to have to figure out if you want to use herbs with your child or not. I'm a giant advocate of Mother Nature and less synthesized stuff, so that's my method. And I even told the doctor I used chamomile and she had no problem with that. So you're going to have to discuss that with your doctor. In one of my books, Stephen Foster's 101 Medicinal Herbs, I remember reading about chamomile. There's only been one case ever of an allergic reaction. It was actually anaphylactic to chamomile. So anybody can be allergic to anything. So if you want to err on the side of caution, I always start erring on the side of caution. I used even less than that for the first time. And I watched and I paid attention for the first day. I gave her one dose just to see how her body reacted, and there was no reaction. So here again is when the common sense comes in. With everything we do, err on the side of caution, observe, reevaluate, think about it. There's nothing you have to rush into. I really try not to panic and not to take everything the medical field is throwing at me. Instead, I'm like, I'm going to chill, take our time with this, try some methods, evaluate, readjust as needed. So it's really that experimental process. And also, on occasion, I added peppermint, but I found the chamomile to be effective. She didn't really like the peppermint. It was too strong for her. Babies have a very, very sensitive palate. Let me go check on these little children yelling right now. What are you guys doing? Can we hear? I'm on the phone. I didn't want whining, remember? You do? Okay. Well, please, everybody, be careful and share. Thank you. So the peppermint, she really didn't like the taste of it. Even just a little bit, she wouldn't have anything to do with it. And then there's a picture that kept popping up in my mind. And honestly, mothers, you listen to your intuition because mothers know best. Oh, hold on for a second, everybody. Sorry. Yeah, I usually have a disclaimer before the show that my 1-2-year-old may interrupt the show as well as my breastfeeding dog. Hey, but it's real life, and this is a parenting show about colic, so you guys know how it is. Yeah. Are you pretending like you helped me with the show? I have to go back to the computer. Everybody, no fighting. AJ, let her have that for the show, okay? And then everybody will have one when I'm done. I'm almost done. And so there was a picture that kept popping up in my mind. We had a baby shower for my first child, but not the second. Everybody's like, oh, you can't have another baby shower. That's inappropriate. I shouldn't have listened to that because actually I really needed the baby shower. But that's a whole other story. I say the method in all of my shows really is listen to yourself. Follow your own heart. But for my first baby shower, I just remember when I was looking online, because our registry was Babies R Us. I remember when I was looking at different first things that you have in a first aid kit there, and I just remember at that time thinking, so much interesting, didn't even know that existed for children, actually. So that kept being shown, like in a vision, popping in my mind. And my daughter had colic, and I finally said, I asked one of my nursing friends, who is Irish and offered to her, like, what do you think? Colic. I'm pretty sure my baby has colic. he recommended grape water, so we started with that first. And actually, that did help. But I wasn't really too pleased. I wanted more of an effect. So then I'm like, you know what, that did help. And she also recommended prebiotics, which I couldn't find. So I ended up giving her a little bit of yogurt. That helped a lot. Just a teeny tiny little, smallest little amount. So I had my husband pick up the gas drops. And I did a lot of research on gas drops and made sure it wasn't anything that was going to hurt the baby. I realized it's very non-invasive. It's called dimethicone, non-invasive anti-gas that eats up the gas bubbles. Hi. You want to come up? Okay, hold on. The reception is over the counter. And the directions on, I believe, were like 30 seconds before feeding. And as needed throughout the day, you could also, depends on the bottle, you can also give some throughout the day. And I believe we could give up to 12 doses a day. So I felt really good about that. I'm like, you know, I could go the Nexium route because that's the other option, the colic clinic, and but that's so severe. You know, like, oh, I just want to go the less severe route. And even the grape water, the active ingredient in there is really activated charcoal, so there's probably recipes on how to make your own because the homeopathics, a lot of them are unregulated and you don't know what's in them. I actually did go for the organic. Anything you can do, if you can go for the organic, is best. But the dimethicone was pretty straightforward with the ingredients, and we had actually amazing effects for that. People would be like, what are you doing? Like, you're giving your baby something? I'm like, of course I'm giving my baby something. If it was your baby, would you just let her cry in pain? What if you had a bellyache? We do things for our stomachs. There's no tums for little babies, so that was the least invasive method. I tried to do everything all natural, just keep it really simple. And it was so wonderful. She was like a new baby. She was a happy girl. So after 2 weeks, I really had the colic down. I totally had it down. The only problem we really ran into is when people visited and they wanted to hold her. People really weren't following directions. You know, nobody knows your baby more than you. And I would say, don't lay her flat. You know, if you're holding her, hold her upright. And people had a lot of issues with that. It's funny how the outside world thinks that they know what to do with your children. Nobody knows your children more than you. So eventually people finally got it. And so she's warmed up to others, but at first she's like, hell no, nobody else is doing what they're supposed to. Hold me upright. Bounce me. You know? It's only mommy could hold her. Only mommy. And she was scared of everybody else because she associated everybody else with pain because that's when her stomach hurt. So finally people got it and things were better. My husband got it pretty early on. He understood. Stop crying when we do this. And the in-laws, they understood, you know, when they babysat, they helped by listening. Another method for the colic was a binky. Now, she didn't love the binky as much as my son, but it did help. It did help sometimes when everything else was already done. She still had a little bit of pain, so I would just give her a binky. And that was helpful. Another thing that I realized with her was she was hungry. And people say, oh, no, you can't feed your child until 6 to 9 months. But yet again, it's an experiment. And I listen to my baby and I'm like, I'm just going to try the teeniest little bit of cereal and some fruit to settle her stomach. Coating. And that was life changing. I fed my baby food. We really started to feed her food at 3 months. And I realized that the whole world was very judgmental. And they're like, what? I can't feed your baby. So actually, there's a lot of things I didn't even tell my doctor because I was afraid until after. And she was fine with it. She's like, yeah, you know, sometimes they used to say a long time ago, she was kind of old school, a long time ago, and put some rice in the baby's bottle. And some people, when they come out of the womb, they're hungry. They're like, give me food. I need more than just milk. So, yes, I fed her at 3 months. And that really made her stop crying. She was so much more happy. But the colic was still there. More mildly. Much more mildly. 80% more mildly. And so, also what I started to do in the beginning, because I realized I wanted to still make sure she's getting the immunity and all the good things from my breast milk, but being a good parent and caring about my daughter as well, I found this organic formula at Babies R Us that was lactose-free. So I mixed. I did a half and half. I pumped, and I mixed it. So there was, that was also very life-altering. It's amazing that you can have organic formula that's not soy, that's lactose-free, and it's still milk-based. But what they do is they break down the lactose in their process. They break down the lactose. So it's a very, very low dose of lactose. And so she was just a happy girl. And I'm one of those people, I never just accept what people tell me. Go and I research and I follow my intuition and I keep researching and I keep researching. And the doctor might say something and I'll, of course, consider that. And then I go and research where she gets her information, where the study came from, and I'll even read the study. And, you know, I'll think about, am I happy with this study and the way it was done and the results? And people, are they really getting the information from the study in the correct way? I mean, that's just me. I like to get to the roots of everything. So, yeah, I found this amazing formula. So you guys out there, if you like organic, and your daughter has colic, or your son has colic, and you still want to breastfeed too, I recommend pumping and researching and finding that formula and just stocking up on it. Now, after the fifth month, they say, you know, sometimes it goes, colic will go away, third or fourth month. After the fifth month, she really turned the corner. My milk dried up anyways at that time. So she was totally on the lactose-free organic formula. There was no more colic. She was like, ah, colic was gone. Still to this day, she's not a back sleeper, and she wasn't a back sleeper after the 5 months either. She was finally better about sleeping in her crib at that point. No, please don't tell me that. You want more crepers? Yes, you can have more crepes. You can write on it. Okay. There you go. So she was finally better at, it was a slow transition. She went from sleeping on me all the time in the very beginning, like the first month, and then the bassinet. And she was up like every 3 hours. That was just her. She had colic. So every time she was awake, she'd have to fall asleep on me. And if she wasn't totally fallen asleep already and I moved her to the bassinet, all hell broke loose. So she really had to deeply fall asleep on me first. And then maybe after the first month, second month, she had longer sleep cycles in the bassinet. But she never slept on her back. She was always on her stomach. That's just the way she liked to sleep, or on her side. And she positioned herself. She put herself in those positions. She was actually a really strong baby. Both of my children could pick their heads up and hold their heads up when they were born. And they both turned themselves on their side the first day. So I guess whatever I did when they were in the womb was good. And so the other thing with my baby was I did a lot of praying in energy work, because I'm an energy healer, and prayer is just a way to have positive, loving vibrations all around you. So I know that every time I did that, it made a huge difference. And so after the third month, she had even longer sleep cycles, sleeping in her bassinet happily, and much less crying. And then the fourth month, we started to put her in her playpen, and maybe she was waking up at that time like two times a night. gradually got better and better. Her stomach just wasn't ready to handle all that was being thrown at it. Her stomach was still developing. So some of us have sensitivities to foods when we come out of the womb. And there were some other people, I was on this colic group on Facebook, and some people said, did you do some kind of lip test on her to see if she was tongue-tied? And apparently, I don't know too much about that, but, you know, the doctors had checked her out and she was fine there. But it's something about, I don't know, you're going to have to look that up yourself. I haven't really gone too far into that because it wasn't a problem. We were just researching things that were. And also something about there being a higher concentration of some chemical in your breast milk, or if you breastfeed them on one side too long. There's no evidence to actually support that at all that I could find. And that really made absolutely no difference at all. People were like, oh, you're breastfeeding on one side too long. But that made no difference at all with us. It was really due to the colic being the lactose intolerance. So when I started to do those things for the gas, it was life-changing, and less lactose was amazing. And she's great. She's a healthy, happy baby. My children very rarely get sick. I guess just the 5 months of breastfeeding, you know, even if it's just a small amount that you're producing, is so effective. So listen to your intuition. And so there's going to be, when you guys have crying babies and you're like, oh no, I'm so exhausted. At that point, you're just desperate and you're really not all in your mind, because I was like a zombie. I was up every 2 hours. I didn't want to go anywhere. I couldn't hardly form sentences or make myself a meal. I was in rough shape. So please, please, please ask for help. Get help if you can. If you have a support system, rely on them. Have your family do overnights, you know, or have your partner help ask. That will be very helpful to you. It took me a while to recover from the trauma on my own body. It was very intense, as well as taking care of a toddler. I really had no support system. My husband, who was working and totally exhausted all the time, so he helped a little bit, but he did the best he could too. So it looks like we have 1 minute and 43 seconds left. You've found another muffin. Oh, my little boy. He's into all my cupboards now, because all he wants is cake. So muffins and cake are better than cake. We'll pretend like that's cake, honey. So everybody, I am a holistic healer as well. So that's why I really, truly believe in the natural way first. And if you have to go the Western route and you need medication, by all means, go there. But just try the least invasive method first. And you can always go to my website for private sessions or more information about me at Kelly Roy, www.kellieroy.com. I believe in Mother Earth medicine and herbs and healing energy. We're all energy. We tap into that. It can be amazing. And stress reduction, taking care of self. My little kids are so funny. They're just looking at me now with muffins all over their face that they stole. They think they're so clever, which they are. Everybody, thank you for listening. I hope this helped some people, because it was really so helpful for me to do this research and look and trial and error and actually kind of ignore most of what other people were telling me. Do what you feel is safest for your child, and listen to your pediatrician, and try to take everything into consideration. Blessings, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.